Good morning.
Good morning, Leanne. We were wondering if you could speak to us a little bit about the significance of having a meditation connected with a public session as we did in Socorro last time.
I believe the nature of the question was also that there was some concern that perhaps this might signal the termination of our experiment. For those of you who have not met me before, it is very clear to those of you who do know me that it's an experiment. We have no idea how worthwhile this will be. I think the hallmark of a new age, if I might use those terms, is simply everyone is going to be experimenting in new ways, and that includes the vast of powers. Understand this, please, very clearly. It is not automatic that the vast powers know how humans will best respond. Your natures are capricious. If you have not noticed it, I would like to point out that they are capricious. Therefore, when the vast power is trying to assist in some way, which is their hope, they have to deal with things that are constantly changing. And the thought forms on the earth plane are always in flux. And it is our job somehow to, between the tidal pools of in and out, be able to grasp some of you before the tide pulls you out again. It's almost as if it's in the sea moves in, and then there's that moment when everything is in quietude, and then it pulls it and it goes back out again. And so it is in between these pools that we try to grasp and to get you in a quiet state to be able to speak as clearly as we can. It is not automatic that we know what is best. Please be very clear. It is not that we do not have the wisdom to impart. It is just this very capricious question of how best to reach. How best? If our yearning were sufficient, you would all know in this instant what reality is. If it was just our yearning that matters. But it is not just our yearning that matters. There must be a meeting between us in order that things can come to their fruition. Therefore, please look to the next 5 years, to many, many different experiments. Some will be, in your terminology, failure. Others will ignite and will be worthwhile. It is not yet determined the end of this, of our experiment together, but however it should come out, it has been a great joy and privilege for me. And I am very grateful to those of you who have relentlessly tried so hard. I am very grateful. So, no, it isn't time to end. We don't know. But I will be very frank. I cannot give you a date. I can only say that as long as it proves effective for even the smallest number, I will be here. But when the time comes that I feel that it's all been said, and there's nothing more to be done, then it's time to do something else. We moved into a meditative state that night because I felt it was best for 6 particular members of that group who were on the verge of very deep and meaningful experiences. I saw, if I might use those words, I saw that it would be more meaningful to stop the chatter and to do what I could to increase the energy field for those 6 persons, particularly in the hope that they would catch fire. And in one case particularly, it was very effective. I will use whatever I can. I told you, please do not expect me to be either predictable or even fair. I will do whatever I think is needful. And I do not ask that you understand me. If you understand me, then we've lost it. Because if you understand me, then you will no longer search for me. If you understand something, my friends, with your minds, then your mind says to you, oh, well, we don't need to worry about that anymore because I understand it. The more mysterious the divine is for you, the better the chance that you will unite with it. When the divine is so ordinary that you think you understand it, you are in trouble. Do you understand me? Once you understand something, your ego is so constructed that you say, oh, good, now I don't have to worry about that anymore. And you just put it aside. So, the more mysterious, This is why a really fine teacher is never predictable. Day after day after unrelenting day, they change. Their faces change, their behavior changes, their speech changes, their attitudes, everything is in a state of flux. That is a sign of a true teacher who is constantly throwing out new things that hopefully destroy what went before. And just as you have it all organized, oh my, so organized, if they really know their stuff, they will destroy the whole edifice that you've so carefully built. Because an edifice is not the real thing. An edifice is simply a mental construct and will never speak the truth to you. So it has to be destroyed. And out of that comes only one thing, the essence of that thing. And you take a fire to it and say, now I will translate it anew. Now, the problem with a human is that you go from one edifice to another. You never really figure out that it is much more wondrous to sit among the ashes and be who you are. You never quite reach that. So instead, you try and take those ashes and begin a new construction. You know, now this time it's a little more vast than the one before. Perhaps it's a little more loving than one before, and it takes in a little bit more, but nevertheless, it is another mental construction. However, we're working on it. And hopefully some of you are working on it too. Anytime I feel that there are those ready for something, then I will try it. And those who do not approve or who find it restless or so forth, I'm sorry. But I cannot act in harmony with all of you at all times. It is only to be hoped that out of a series of meetings that there will be enough of those when you are the one who is ready to ignite, and that we can then share in that experience with you. The ones who I was working with have been in this for a long time, and they knew exactly what level to tune into, and everything was right. And I took the opportunity, and that was the reason for that. The last part of the question deals with the earth. What is it?
The question states, is the violent upheaval on the planet Earth approaching at a more rapid pace than might have been indicated earlier?
No. First of all, I have never stated, nor will I ever state, until the actual happening of it, that any such thing is going to happen. Because you see, if all of the wise people and all of the dumb people and all of the mediocre people keep this idea going that this is going to happen, then guess what, my friends? It's going to happen. And I do not yet see that it is necessary that it happen. I do not yet see that a war is imminent and absolutely necessary. I do not see that. But I do see this. If enough of you begin to accept it, then it will happen. Because it is your accepting of the thing. It is your mental idea that it's going to come into form that's going to begin to bring it into form. Understand, my friends. I repeat, you are building your own world. Your minds are building the world, and you will have to live it. Please be aware of that. Yes.
A question was asked as to whether the Armageddon, seemingly predicted in the book of Revelation, is imminent.
Yourself.
My dear friend, even if I did, I would not say it. I repeat, everything is still in the state of becoming. And as that is the fact, there's always a chance that things can take a different turn. If you are asking me if the war, if it comes, will be located in that area and will have a great deal to do with the influx of the oil in that area, I would have to answer you in the positive without question. If you look to a trouble spot in the world, it must be in the oil-producing nations of the world. Why? Because you are all slaves to it. And whatever you are slaves to binds you. Understand this. As you are slaves to the product that comes out of that land, so be it. But you are the slaves of it. Understand, it's a two-way bondage. And because you have lost your capacity as a nation to stand on your integrity alone, you have bartered your soul, if you wish to speak in grand terms. You have bartered your soul and your integrity in order to assure that your lifestyle be continued on in the manner in which you were accustomed. Not you, my friend, but the vast United States, as I'm speaking. You no longer can make your political decisions on the basis of right and wrong. You now must always throw in, but what about our oil? Whenever you have such a question, you must understand that you no longer can make a clear decision of right and wrong. Do you understand me? You cannot do it. Because underlying is always that question. Yes, but what if they cut it off? What if, it's almost as if I might use the analogy, that you are addicted to this fuel. It is the cocaine of the modern world. Do you understand me? It runs through your veins. It runs through your whole world. The whole United States seems to rest on this flow of this black cocaine. And without it, you will dry up and die. Your country would be vastly different without this. So the answer, my friend, must lie there. If the United States somehow is able to overcome this duality and say, we will stand for right, and we will take what is necessary to stand for right, we will do without. We will do without, because being right, being on the side of the righteous, is more important. Then comes all possibilities, my friend, all possibilities. But how do you convince a nation bloated with vast too muchness that it needs to stop having too much? In fact, move into the realm of not enough, because, my friends, in their vision, it is exactly what would happen. It would be in the realm of not enough. Our perception is that not enough would be very healthy indeed. It would call on forces within you that you didn't even know were there. But how do you convince the vast portion of your nation? Watch your elections and see what happens. It will tell you a lot. If there is to be a third world war, there is no doubt that at the heart of it will lie the underdeveloped nations of the world and the oil. Make no mistake. And sad it will be. The hail, obviously. I do not like to dwell on it. You have asked it. I must speak to the truth. The second question is, can you change things? Yes. Yes. How late is it? I don't know. Has it gone too long? Is it too far? I don't know. I do not know. My dear friend, everything that you think is a construct, but that does not mean that it doesn't have tremendous impact on the world as you see it. Understand this clearly. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what wars come or do not come, your job remains the same. Your job remains to free yourself from the illusion. That is your job. The sorrow is that until you are free from the illusion, all of the movements have vast effects upon you and those you love, and that we cannot deny. To say that out of the ashes will rise a beautiful phoenix is truth. But we must deal with our reality as it stands, which is, unless the vast majority of this country decides to change the way that they are thinking, then the inevitability of things will take their own toll, and nothing can be done to stop it. But what is your job? Is to free yourself. Because in the freeing of your own energy fields, you do more to stop such action than anything you can possibly think of. Your mind cannot stop it, but the freeing of the energy within can change everything. This is why I very rarely dwell on these things, because my emphasis is, look, do what you can and let the rest go. You cannot change anything other than yourself, my friends. If you all start to be political activists, we're lost. We're lost if you're a political activist, because in the political activist syndrome, unless you're very exceptional, you're going to start dealing in hate. And when you start dealing in hate, you are simply increasing the duality of things instead of the freedom of things. And this is why I say, please, whatever you are doing, do not be attached to what you are doing, but be absolutely attached to the awareness with which you are doing it. By that I mean this. Whatever you be doing, if you are doing it from a centered space within your being, where you are touching on the divine wisdom, you will help. If you are not, you can be doing the most lofty thing in the world, but if you are not centered, you are not helping. You are simply moving the pieces on the chessboard. You will not help unless you are tuned within your being to some power that knows a great deal more than you know. And it is so simple. I was asked in a private session yesterday, Bartholomew, you talk a lot about life, that life lives you. What do you mean by that? Please clarify. And I would like to say, the reason that it is so simple, the reason that freedom is so wondrously simple, is that all the time that you are fooling around with your ego manifestation, life is living you. All of the time that you have your attention on the wrong things, the wars and all of this business, all of that time, life is living you. And the power and the expansion and the creativity in the life that is living you is constantly going on. You do not have to bring it into life. If you did, it would be a very dismal and difficult job. But you do not. And how do you know? Let me ask you this. I would ask you, those of you who come every month, I'll give you 1 month. Do something for me. I will be back here in a month's time. The next time I come, I would ask all of you to have used the last intervening days to do this thing, to think and feel what I mean when I say life is living you. Please, put aside everything else. Put aside all mentalizations and all thought constructions and all business. Put it all aside and just cling to one thing. Life is living you. You have access to that reality. You may call it many things, but the fact is that while you are sitting so quietly, life is moving, undulating, and carrying the force of which you are a part. You have access to that because you are a part of that. Life lives you. Once you know that, once you taste of that, then all of the false boundaries dissolve. Please. 28 days. That isn't a lot to ask, is it? 28 days, I ask you. And then after that, if you haven't touched it, if you don't understand any better, then forget it. But 28 days. That's all I ask. Because it is my deep knowledge that if you start addressing that very thing, that life is living you, that you will begin to know what I mean. I'm not saying in 28 days you will all be free, but I will tell you this. If you spend the next 28 days just on that one understanding and trying to bring it into reality, you will really begin to know what I mean. I tell you now, you're already free. I tell you now, you're already illumined. I tell you now, you are all of it now. And you can begin to understand it if you will just hold to one thing. Life is living you. What do I mean? When you start to taste of that, you will see that the mind cannot grasp that kind of thing. Your mind will begin to play with it at the beginning stages. Oh, yes, life is living you. And who knows what kinds of things you will conjure up. But eventually, you will sense the unreality of your fantasies. And then is the time to drop into life and let me and anyone who chooses to help you to experience the fact that life is living you. It isn't hard because it's already going on. If you had to get to the source and generate the power of life, then I would say, my friends, you have a very hard job. Somehow make your way back upstream to the source and get a generating machine going so that life could begin to flow. Yes, you would have a job, but you don't. But until you start to be aware that you are simply part of the process, not the process, an ego says, I am the process, and I am running this process, and look how wonderfully I'm doing with this process. The question is, are you doing so wonderfully? And if you are not, then try to remember to trust the process, because it is going on all the time. If you want to talk about the grace of God, how about that for the grace of God? That while you're going on about your business, conjuring up worlds, creating worlds, and destroying worlds daily, nightly, momentarily, all of the time you're doing that, what is happening? Life is living you, and exceedingly abundantly. Exceedingly abundantly. Beautifully, joyously, compassionately living it. Almost like you have identified with the bubbles on the river and forgotten that the river moves. The bubble does not move the river. The river takes the bubble. You've made a misidentification. Simply that. Nothing more complicated. It isn't difficult. Please, 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 do not think this is difficult. There is moving within you now and has always been and always will be the flow of life. That you cannot deny. If I ask all of you one thing you would agree on, you are alive. That is all you can tell me. At this instant in time you live, you know that. You may not live the way you want to. You may not have all that you want. You may not this and that and the other. But we cannot get away from the basic premise. You are alive. And since there's only two things needed for freedom, you can be free at any time. The first thing, you must be alive, which you are. And two, the divine must be real, which it is. That's all that's needed. Make it as complicated as you want. But that's all that's needed. I hope I've answered that question. My friend, did you have a question?
I find it difficult to understand how we can survive without our ego in this reality that we've created, in this society. How can you work at a job within this society and not have an ego and take pride in what you do?
The question is, how can you keep a job in this society without keeping your ego? And how to keep a job without taking pride in what you do. Is that a true statement? I have been instructed to repeat all questions. So. My friend, the reason that there is confusion is that you are using the wrong I. The I that identifies with the ego makes an erroneous statement, which is that if the ego does not do it, nobody is going to do it. The problem is so deep-seated in the human that they really feel that without the ego, that they will be nothing. Or if they are something, that they are not going to be a functional something. They're going to be a what? A free-flowing, incapable, blundering, in your terms, spaced-out something. All right. None of this is true. Look at the ones who have really been enlightened. Let us take three examples. Let us take the Christ, I think a very functioning human. The Buddha, a very well-functioning person. And, in my words, another great one is Ramana Maharshi, all three who function beautifully. Now, the ego is nothing more than a false picture that you have built up in your mind. The ego is really unconnected. You build up an ego because you do certain things in succession, and therefore you say, ah, yes, A follows B follows C follows D. All right? Do you agree to this? The fact is that that is an erroneous assumption. There need not be any connection from A to B to C to D. Your mind makes it. In reality, there are gaps. In reality, when you go to bed at night, a whole new awareness arises in the morning. But because you are so conditioned to think in terms of continuation, and because you wish to be continued in this way, you see it as a continuing thing. The people in the insane asylum don't see it that way. A psychotic break is something called a danger to your society. And what it represents is the fact that the mind breaks between events. My friends, that is the truth. Your mind breaks between mental events. It does not continue. It is like a train moving, but there are spaces between those cars. Now, when the ego no longer is in the foreground, the promise is this: I will make you personally, your name is Richard, is it not? I will make you a promise, personally. If you, my friend Richard, will surrender to the Almighty, to the Divine, to whatever you want to call it, the Divine will take over your problems, your life, and live it for you. Do you want to make an exchange? You see, nobody believes me. Nobody believes me when I say this, and therein lies the difficulty. What you do not understand, my friend Richard, is that the Divine is already living your life. What you do not understand is that once you see the falsity and the illusion of a continuous ego, that it has no continuing substance, until you see that, you will continue to think that it is real and substantial. It is neither real nor substantial. It is in your illusory mind that it takes on its substance. It is not real. My friend, if it is not real now, then how can it be doing the jobs that it's doing? It isn't doing them. Understand this. It's very hard to describe. Energy is moving through you, and certain actions are performed. That is all that we can say. And you say to me, if the ego does not perform these, then they will not get done. And I say, my friend, that is not the truth. The truth is that they are already being done by a vaster source. They are already. You could not do anything if you didn't have the divine life within you, my friend Richard. Nothing. Nothing. So, when you begin to see that the body and the mind are in you, and you are the vastness, and these things are within you, when you begin to understand that, by tasting of what life really is instead of what you think it is, then you will begin to realize that the wonder of a spontaneous life, the life divine, if you wish to put it that way, comes about when that has all been laid down. When you say, all right, I lay it down. I'm not going to choose anymore. And then when you go within your being and ask for the choices to come from the vastness within, you will begin to do different things. I cannot tell you you'll keep the same job, my dear friend. I can't say that the divine will continue to do your job. But I will promise you this. The job that you do end up doing will be done beautifully. Will be done totally. And will be done with harmony far exceeding your wildest dreams. The problem is, my friend, the ego is running the show. Everyone's.
But how do you wish yourself on it? Or is it just recognizing it?
In your case, I hate to make universal statements. I will speak to Richard. I state with assurance that there is divine power within you. I state with equal assurance that you can touch on it. The problem simply remains, how much of the time do people spend within, tasting of life, and how much of the time do they spend out, manipulating life? If you reverse the process and take your attention off the outer and start moving within, then you will sense the splendor of a spontaneous movement that comes. A spontaneous life is one that's lived without any rules or regulations at all. You simply move. All you have to do is to turn the awareness the other way. Awareness is always with you. Now the awareness goes outward. In order to reverse it, you simply turn it the other way. You simply go within and start living within, the life within, which then takes care of the life without. Test it, will you? Because I think that you will find that you do things a whole lot better from within than you do from without. But you see, you're afraid. You're afraid! Not only, Richard, I would like to now just speak in general terms. People become afraid because they say, oh my God, if I don't think about it, if I don't worry about it, it's not going to get done. Oh, please. It's going to get done. It's going to get done. And perhaps done more joyously, more creatively, and with a lot more, what is the word, gusto, than you're able to put into it now. Because fear limits gusto. Be aware of this. If you don't feel joy in your life, it's because you're afraid. Somewhere in your scheme, you are afraid. Find out what you're afraid of. Are you afraid that God's not going to do his bit? Because you see, most of you are afraid of that, and with good reason. How do you know God's going to do his bit when you don't even know if he is? How do you know that God exists? Those of you who have not experienced it. Some of you in this room have, so you know I speak truth. But some of you don't know that yet. So I tell you, I prattle every month, God exists, God is real, and you say, how do you know? I say, I know because I've tasted it. Now how about you? Why don't you taste it, and then we won't have to deal with that problem anymore. At least we will say that the source exists. And then people say, well, what are the attributes? And I'll say, God has no attributes, God is. There are no attributes. Attributes means people who have little side things going. There's no such thing as that in the realm of the one God. But as soon as you begin to know within your own being, then we can at least put that one aside. Because some of you do not yet really know that the divine is a reality. So we're still speculating. And as long as we're speculating, we might as well speculate as high as we can. Those of you who have not experienced the reality of the divine, I would ask you to get busy and get about it. It is your right. It is your privilege, and it is your capacity and your capability to do so. So do it. I repeat, it is not hard to do because it is what you are. If it was not what you were, then it would be exceedingly difficult. That we need retro rockets and great spaceships and so forth to get to this God and to place ourselves before him and whatnot. And all of this is nonsense. If he isn't within you, you're never going to reach him. Be aware of that. So the answer is very simple. If you don't know this experience, then turn within and find it. I say it's there. What do you say? It's so simple. It is so utterly simple. So, is there something else? Yes. Nice to see you, my friend.
I've observed, Bartholomew, that in one of our most prevalently used worship forms, that is prayer, that often we identify ourselves, especially in verbal prayer, as separate from God, which, if I understand you correctly, and I think I do, is something that we should avoid. I have meditated on this myself and gotten ways around this, but I'd like to get to the essence of it.
All right. Thank you. The question deals with verbal or mental prayer. I imagine either would fall into this category. And most prayer takes the form of object of worship and worshiper, duality, two things. I'm going to answer this question on two levels. Place yourself where you wish. I stand absolutely on the truth that prayer helps people. Absolutely. Beautifully, wondrously helps people. And for those that it works for, do not abandon it until God himself comes and says, stop it. And God does come to you and say, stop it. He says, I don't want to be separate anymore. Will you stop it? Do you hear me? God, the power, the source, the divine, will come in some way, through some medium, and say to you, I don't want to be separate anymore. Are you ready to be one? And if you do not believe me, then you're not listening to what I'm saying to you. I do not pretend to be God, but I certainly do state that I am a part of God. You bet. And I would not have it otherwise. And so are all of you. So there's no hierarchy available here. The wonder of the divine power is there's no hierarchy allowed, which is why most of you don't want to play. If there's no hierarchy, then how are we going to decide who's better and who's worse and who's up and who's down, who's in the middle, who's under this week, who's on top this week, who's sitting in the front row, who's having to be in the back row, who has to be out the door? No, we're not going to deal with that. The fact is there is no hierarchy in divine power. There isn't any. And anyone who says that there is has not tasted of the real essence of God. I stand on that. I stand on that. Therefore, we are equals sharing. Now, when you begin to sense the wonder of this thing, and you find that prayer has worked for you, but all of a sudden you find that that isn't enough anymore, that it just isn't enough anymore, instead of leaving prayer, please just change that prayer just a bit. And just change it to something simple like, we are one. I am I. Change it. You see, if you begin to change the way that you do this, then you will begin to allow yourself to find out what it is that's really happening. You see, it is you who allow. It is not the divine that allows. You allow. You say, I want to be separate because I want to worship you. And that's a wondrous thing. Yes. Yes, indeed it is. And it gives you tremendous comfort. And it surrounds you and uplifts you and upholds you. Yes. I agree to that. But there comes a time when God is really alive in you that he says, that's not enough for me, and I don't want it to be enough for you anymore. Stop it. And that's when you have to say it. Outside is no longer there for you. Then you have to take it all in and say, all right, I will take the chance. I will drop that outside, and I will go in, and I will sit there. What do you think the Buddha did? He sat there until it was accomplished, and that's what you've got to do. What did the Christ do in the wilderness? He sat there until it was revealed to him, until he knew. You've got to do it, my friends. Nobody can do it for you. He is not out there. All you have to do is get inside and say, all right, show me. Show me. If it takes the rest of your life, my friends, you've got to sit inside and say, show me. And when it begins to happen, when the heart center begins to open, when the pain starts to build, understand this, my dear friend. When centers are beginning to open and pain is there, it is simply residue. Do not worry about it. Visualize instead total movement of energy from the back out through the being, totally expanding without any obstacles at all. Do you understand me? Whenever this is happening, this is the job, to just feel this movement. And if you can, feel yourself bringing it in and taking it through. To see, guide it. What is needed is a guiding. Do not be concerned with the pain. Let it happen. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen many people in many centers. So what? When the divine moves, the obstacles must go. These are obstacles that have been built by the mind. They have nothing to do with the physical body. I would like to tell you again, they have nothing to do with the physical body. The cells of the body are absolutely transmuted and transformed when divine energy moves. You will not look the same, you will not feel the same, you will not be the same. But it is a gradual process. Do not be afraid of any movement through the cellular structure, please. Because the fear itself encumbers the problem. So, keep it understood. See yourself and the cellular structure alive with a new burning light. Myriads of colors, dancing, playing, absolutely dynamically creative. Do you understand? And sit with it, and sit with it, and sit with it. And take the time necessary. Scale down your life to the bare bones as best you can and give this time to it. Because, my friend, do not miss it. Do not miss it. Congratulations and good luck. My friend, have we dealt with the prayer enough, or is there something as a residue that we might deal with? All right, then I would like to lead on to another subject, which I have not been asked to talk on, but I feel I must. For those of you who have been working, I mean truly working, whether for 1 week or 1 year, the hallmark is anything changing? Is anything happening? If nothing is happening, then either you're not doing your job or I'm not doing my job. And we've got to find out. For those of you who have been so patiently sitting here for month after month, if nothing is happening in your life, if you do not feel any differently than when we first met, if you do not feel any change of hope or capabilities or wonder, please make an appointment to see me, because we aren't doing our job. And let's find out which of us is failing. Some of you have been with me a long time. And I'm very grateful for your continuing interest. But the hallmark of our relationship is it working? Do not sit and listen to anybody when nothing is changing, when nothing is working, when the words keep coming, but nothing takes place. When you don't feel any changes, when your life isn't opening, when your mind isn't getting clearer, when your being isn't getting uplifted, don't listen. Come to me and say, all right, there's something wrong. And then let us deal with it. Directly, clearly, and honestly. Which one of us is failing? And it could be both. I need to know. The hallmark of our integrity is it working for you? And if it is not, let's find out why, please. It is important. Because if it is working, you're going to be moving into a whole new realm of understanding. And when the power takes you up, sometimes it can move so fast that you get dizzy. A true statement, my friends. A true statement. When the power really begins to move within you so dynamically, disorientation often takes place. But let it happen. How wonderful. Is it so wonderful to be oriented? Is it so wondrous to walk oriented through your life? Or isn't a little disorientation a change of pace at any time? So, let the divine shake you up a little. But when it starts shaking, if you become afraid, and I must speak to this because many of you are having various experiences that are transcending your normal understanding of things. Call. Get a hold of the gentleman or the woman. Call. Because when divine power moves, it moves. It's not going to wait for permission. It's not going to say, are we ready, dear one? It's going to start to move. And then you either move with it and take what it gives you, or you put down the blinds, you become afraid, you go back in, and you're going to lose it until the next round. Telephone. I don't say I have all the answers, but this I will promise you. I can deal with the problems that the physical entity has with this problem. Yes. I can. Not because I'm so wise, but because I have experience. I felt that important because many changes have come and are coming, and in the coming of the spring, watch for many things. Just as the tides of life on the planet give birth at certain times, so is it in the spring. If you're doing your homework and if I'm doing mine, then some tremendously exciting things can happen in the springtime. You move from the cold and you burst into the sun. Yes, my friend.
This reminds me of something you might want to address. I asked you some months ago about a dedication or a spring festival or whatever at on the property at Vista Grande. Is there a time of opening up or when you want to be there for any particular first?
All right. Sir, we should address this in our next private session. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We will address that. Please do not feel obligated, anyone. If we have a wondrous coming together up there and you cannot make it, so what? Just think about us. But if you can be there, so much better for us. But take it if you can. It's a long way for some of you. Are there any other questions?
I have one other.
Yes.
Some time ago in a tape, to which I'm now listening, you mentioned that you might suggest that we write down our rules.
Oh, yes.
I'm having some trouble identifying what you consider a rule.
All right.
Vegetarian, non-vegetarian. Are you doing that kind of mundane thing?
If you're paying close attention to your mind, what she's referring to is in the past I've stated that if you really wish to be free, look very carefully at what your mind has constructed as your rules that allow you freedom, because you have them. And if you have a certain rule that's embedded deeply within you that you haven't looked at, and you're not following that rule, my friends, you aren't going to get free. Not because the divine powers doesn't want it, but because you have not taken the time to override your own structures. All right, now, when you go within yourself to find out your rules, you're going to find a lot of surface rules. Vegetarianism, I think, is a surface rule. But there are so many of those, whether sexual activity will help or decrease the energy, whether you have to be single, whether, oh my, they go on and on. All right, whatever they are, write them all down, because you have to know what you're dealing with. This is yourself. This is you. This is the incarnations of lifetime of nonsense that you have been fed and believed. And I tell you now, not one of your rules holds. Not one. Not one of your rules holds. Every one of you who can give me a rule, I can tell you by my own awareness of someone who has retained and obtained freedom in the grips of the rule that you were talking about. For example, those of you who say you cannot have freedom if you are having sexual relationships, my dear friend. That is absolutely, utterly, and totally nonsense. It is true that as you become more and more refined in your understanding of things, you will begin to use that energy differently. When you are having a sexual relationship, you will use that energy in a different way, with more awareness, with more precision, with more power. Yes, I will grant you that. But that's a very normal thing. As you move deeper and deeper into the levels of your awareness, you're going to get in touch with a natural, spontaneous way of freedom for you. And some of you are going to need to use the sexual experiences, because it is within that very experience that you have felt the greatest coming together as possible. So use it. Don't set out to fight against yourselves. Those of you who believe that vegetarianism is required, fine. Do one of two things. Either be a vegetarian or drop the belief. Whichever is easier. All right? But the problem is, when you get to more and more deeper levels, you're going to run into other things. Those of you who have been brought up in the Christian faith are going to say, oh my, now I'm really in trouble. Because here lies this whole band of Orthodox Christianity, and it's just going to sit there like a pool, and you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to dive through it, or are you going to abandon it? Don't run away. Don't run away. Because through it all, there is a way to come to clarity. You have been told a lot of things that are not true. You have believed a lot of things that God would not believe possible of himself. Believe me, the rules that you have constructed for your God have a lot to do with you, but they have nothing to do with God, believe me. So, find out what they are. Because if you're pushing against your own rule structure, you're not going to be able to give way. All right, now what do you do? What do you do if you run into this pool? The same thing applies as my response to Dear Richard. You sit with it and you allow yourself to really look at it. Anything that you really look at with the depth of a deep meditation understanding will clarify for you. It isn't hard. Why do I ask you to meditate? Simply because I know the powers that can come around you at a meditation time that can clarify all of these things for you. That's why. Not because I like rules, but because I know the power of energy coalesced in one moment of time can clearly push you through any obstacle. But until you know the obstacle is there, how are you going to understand it? How are you going to abandon it unless you look at it? If you look at just the vegetarian one, you will see certain things and you'll make your choice. If you look at the Christian, the devout Catholic and so forth, look at it. Look at it very clearly. Look at it. And in your meditation, when you look at these things, with all due respect, most of the time you're going to laugh. You are going to laugh because some of them are very funny. What you're going to see is that you have two rules and they're contradicting each other. Over here you have one rule and over here you have another. And they're absolutely opposites. And when you look at them, you will have to laugh. You know, the divine has a great deal of humor involved in it. And this whole journey you're on has a lot of humor. So when you can look at these two opposite things and think, oh my God. And then the choice is which to keep. Well, best drop them both. When you come to that kind of thing, just drop them both. Because clearly, neither one is that important. Find out your belief structure deeply within you. Do you believe that unless you meditate 8 hours a day, you cannot be free? And don't laugh, because a lot of you have that. A lot of you sitting in this room have sat before teachers many lifetimes, and one rule is, if you do not spend your day in quiet meditation, you will not be free. If you're involved as a householder and living in the world, you will not be free. And don't misunderstand me, I mean this literally. Many of you have that embedded within your being. Well, if so, then you're going to have to wait till you're old enough to retire. And what if you die before then? What if you die before you retire? Then where are you? You're dead. And you wake up and you have lost it. That is a rule that has kept many people in bondage because they do not look at it. What is your belief? Do you believe that if you have too much money, you can't be free? Don't laugh. Don't laugh. This eye of the needle business, you know, and the camels and whatever you have, and rich people, I can't quite recall it, but whatever it is, don't underestimate the power of those ideas that flow through your being. If you believe you cannot go through this world into freedom carrying riches with you, and you happen to have a nice car and a nice house, you're stuck. And you will do one of two things. You will either arrange things so that you lose your house and your car, which will be a great inconvenience to you, or you will throw out the idea, and you have to pick. If I were you, I would throw out the idea and keep the car. That is what I would do. But if you cannot, if it is not possible for you, then lose your job, throw out the car, I'd rather you lose everything and gain freedom. There are no rules. There are absolutely no rules. And the one rule that I will say again and again that will probably be there at the very end is that you can't do it alone. My friends, it isn't possible to make such a statement. If you cannot do it alone, then this God that you have created is the most unfair creation of man's mind. For example, a man alone on an island, no books, no Bibles, no Quran, no sutras, no Vedas, nothing, no priests, no one, but alone he sits. If the divine has the play so constructed that that one entity cannot reach freedom, then I want nothing to do with this divine. But in that moment, in the very movement of the life of that one entity within the realm of its own life, freedom is there. And if he spends any time at all sitting down or walking in solitude, he will touch upon it. If he dwells upon what he has and what is present within him instead of worrying about what he does not have, which is what humans usually do, then freedom is his instinct. You do not need anything. I told you before, you need two things, both of which you have. You need to be alive, and you need the divine. Both exist. That is all you need. Do not allow anyone, no matter how beautiful, no matter how wise, to step between you and that light. Please, take all the help you can get, certainly, certainly. But never make the mistake of thinking that help is absolutely the only way possible, because that is not true. And well, you all know it. The wonder of this whole thing is I'm only telling you what you already know. If not, you would never have come back. If I had sat here and said things that you did not already know, you'd say, which some people perhaps have said, this is all absolute, utter nonsense. And it may be. Find out. Find out. Yes, rules are important. Finding out your rules is absolutely important. Incarnations of time you've spent encumbering yourselves with do's and don'ts, how to do it and with who and when and how and with what, I tell you, it is incredible to watch. And it is all nothing. It is all nothing. And you don't look at the obviousness of the nothing. If you look at the ones who have reached realization, they've reached them through a myriad forms. How can you resolve to hold on to one way when God again and again and again chooses to be capricious and shows himself to the most unworthy people around? Hasn't that ever dawned on you? It isn't the virtuous that God comes to. It's the poor bloke who's trying very hard. The one in the front seat of the church usually doesn't get the blast. It's the one who's just stumbled in at the back. Find out your rules, my friends. They're vital. They're vital. Have we gone on along? Seems to me perhaps we have taken up enough of their time.
Are there other questions?
Did we answer that second question?
That's been discussed, yeah. It's been dealt with.
Bartholomew, I would like to ask, when we go within and make the connection, we become immersed in this to a great extent. Is there a danger that we could become narcissistic to the exclusion of people out there that we love?
All right, I will answer the question. The question is, when you are really doing this of turning within, you will find that you become immersed with a real substance. And it's real. And you will find it. And you will touch it. And you will taste it. And you will want more of it. And then you'll become addicted to God. And how wonderful that is. All right. Now, the question is, will we, by this process, become so within-oriented that we will not then be able to reach out and touch those who have need of us on the outside? All right. I wish I could answer you in a blanket statement, but I cannot, but I will do my best to fill in. First of all, there are some of you who are going to have to become immersed in it to such an extent that you will probably choose to leave your jobs, that you will choose to sell everything, that you will choose to go somewhere and sit. Not because you have to, but because you want to. And why not do what you want to do? Why do you always have to do what you don't want to do? Do what it is you want to do. Those of you who do not have many responsibilities, who can afford to do this, why not? Why not? And out of that continuing union will come action. You see, action is misunderstood. You think that because you're not busy with your hands and your feet, that you're not performing action. This is based on the illusion that you are a body. I keep telling you, you are not a body, and you therefore can perform action with the energy within you far more effectively than you can with your bodies. How do you think these people pick up all these objects and move them around with the power? It's obvious. This is the whole new age is coming. When you're going to see people lifting things with mind and so on and so on. All great fun. But all it's going to be telling you is, my friends, your bodies are not essential for some of your actions. And I have told you and I tell you again. When you sit in quietude and are radiating out a certain degree of energy, you're helping so many people. Now, if you were caught in the illusion that you can only help through your physical body, then this is one of the things you should look at. Most of the great teachers sit quietly within some room or other and simply do their best to take the energy, transmute it, and send it out. That's what they do. That's their job. You know, just like other people go to be a nurse, they sit there and that's what they do. I don't know what your jobs are. Well, actually I do, but I'm not going to tell you what your jobs are. Some of you have that as a job. Some of you will find yourselves in that absolutely identical position, sitting quietly, doing very mundane things, a little gardening here and a little this and a little that, but all the time just being conductors and transmuters of the energy fields, all right? That's one type of person. Another type of person is going to take that energy and take a certain amount of meditation time every morning, like say an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening, and then dynamically move through a day, doing this and doing that and helping here and doing so on and so forth. These are all the patterns. Now, if you ask me, is it possible to fall asleep? If you are in touch with dynamic God energy, you will not be lethargic. If you are lethargic, you have hit another plane. Do you understand me? If you become lethargic, if you fall asleep, and if you no longer care, you've gone into another plane of awareness, which is the plane that you reach under things like, what is that? Yes, thank you. Marijuana, some of the lesser psychedelics, so on, not the stronger psychedelics blast you into a whole other realm, but I'm speaking of the stupor realm. And it's the same realm that you would reach under marijuana. All right, now that realm fantasizes and has great visions, but can carry nothing out. And there is a realm within your being that exists just like that. And that's all you do, is you shift from the world of this reality to that. And you will tell. You know, they say, by their fruits they know them. Watch yourselves. If you find that you're just not caring about anything, if you become sleepy, I don't mean dynamically quiet. You understand me? You can be dynamically quiet, and that is a whole other thing. I'm talking about somebody who just doesn't care, who just says, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Oh, well, I'll just stay, and goes into a quietude. Do you understand? There's another kind of lethargy that takes over. These are very different fields of energy. So, when you're quietly within your being, and you feel the substance that you were talking about, when you feel it, you know it. You cannot be deceived if you're really paying attention. So please don't be confused. If you find you're in a level of your being that's putting you to sleep, get out of it. You haven't gone deeply enough. And it's not hard. Just stay awake. Just pay attention. The one objection to marijuana is that it can put you to sleep. I don't mean you're physically asleep, but that you know you no longer have the desire to create. You create in your mind, and you think that's sufficient. But the next step is necessary, to create in the mind and bring it into form. And people on drugs rarely have that combination. They can bring it in their minds, beautiful, wondrous dreams, wondrous fantasies, but they cannot bring it into power, into creativeness on the earth plane. And that's important, yes, ma'am.
Stronger hallucinogens, what's your objection to them?
I don't object to anything. It's up to you. I will only tell you that if you take a stronger hallucinogenic, what you stand in great jeopardy of doing is blasting what they call holes in the fields around you. And therefore you lose control over what comes in and goes out. You are energy in motion. That's all you are. You are just, if you could see yourself, as perhaps you have, just filled with boundless energy moving in and out. It undulates and it moves. Now, in that energy field, there are certain areas that are weaker than others. Now, if you've been working strongly toward a divine understanding, the weakness comes through, the divine moves in, and you feel in a different state. On the other hand, if you take something that blasts you before preparedness into other areas of awareness, you rend it asunder, you just pull it apart. It's only energy. And it's as if you were letting off a bomb. and it explodes, and it makes perforations in the whole system. And this is all that happens. The problem then comes that you have leakage. Things can come in.
Like possession?
Yes. Like thoughts that are despondent, like... Look, each one of you is made up of positive and negative. Please, I hope none of you think that you do not have any dark energy in you. That would be a misassumption. If you had only light energy, you certainly wouldn't be sitting here listening to my prattling. But those of you who are aware that you have dark energy, when this thing takes place, light joins light. And this then gives the darker side a chance to come in greater vastness. That's all. Energies go together, you know, they combine. And one of the things that you have programmed in your physical structure is protection. Being aware of dark energies, you've programmed yourself to have protection around you. But the hallucinogenics blast that protection away. What is it when someone says, I'm protected? What do they mean? All they're really saying, whether they can see it or not, is that there's a tremendous force field of energy of a lighter, positive nature surrounding them. Infants are born with it, you know. Mothers, I'm sure, wonder how children ever live. Because so many things can happen to a child when it's little. How do they ever live? It's a protection. It's a force field of protectiveness around you. And by the choices that you make as you move through your life, you make holes in it or you build it. It's not very hard to understand. Either you build it so that it's a stronger protection, or you do things that rent holes in it. That's all. Have I made that clear?
Okay, well, I don't want to belabor the issue, but is it possible to use stronger hallucinogenics in a fairly enlightened way?
Certainly. But be aware. Take the risk. There's always a risk. And when you make that choice, pay attention to really what happens. Don't allow yourself to fall asleep. Really be aware of what's happening and make your choice. The biggest problem with any of these is that you get the idea that that is the way to the truth and the light. And there's no doubt in this world that you see glimpses. I will not deny experience. It's simply there is another quicker, faster, safer way. But it doesn't matter. Make your choice. If that is what fills you with understanding, if that is what is meaningful to you, then by all means, go your way, and good luck. I have no preferences. I only point out possibilities. That's all. Please do not say I am against any of these things. One must follow their own destiny and carry it through to the end with vigor, strength, and courage. Yes?
Talking of these bloods, I certainly would like to understand what they are. They have been happening in my hospital for the past 2 weeks. At times I hear them, it's like a small explosion, and at times my children hear them, and I don't, and we're all in the same area. And that it seems to happen often.
I will speak to you privately about that, all right? So, I thank you all for coming, and for your great patience.
Thank you.
Thank you.